is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
We are hipsters, so you know what we need?
Speak for yourself. I'll always deny it.
If you have a British accent, you can't be a hipster.
Be a hipster.
Spectacles. We all need spectacles.
Yeah, glasses. Eyewear. Warby Parker.
Yeah, Warby Parker. They're like sticking it to the man. They keep the prices low. They have in-house designers.
Actually, I had to buy some character glasses, and I just bought some fake frames from Warby Parker, and they're great.
That's awesome.
Super nice, and you can make sunglasses out of them. And they also do that Tom's thing where they like give a pair of glasses to someone in need.
Oh yeah, yeah, they do. They support charities. Yeah, they help people who need spectacles who can't afford them. So if you have money to spend on them, though, you should go to Warby Parker. You get to pick 5 frames to try on and select.
Yeah, so they'll like send you the frames. You can try them on and wear them around town. Take them to the grocery store. Take them out.
Take them on a date. Buy them a glass of wine. See if they put out. And
or just like put them on your bed and roll around on them and see which ones respond to your body.
You might have to buy more.
Then you might have to buy more. Yeah, don't break them. But if you go to boardwalkaudio.com/Warby, and that's W-A-R-B-Y. Warby.
Yeah, they will ship to you for free, and you can try them on and see what works for you.
Get clear.
I just drink wine.
Welcome to the wine situation.
Whoa, you went high on A over there. You have like a power pose.
I started giggling. I was trying to like use power and then I started giggling.
I either try to match your tone or I try to just go contrary to
it. Contrary, yeah.
But this time I matched it.
We both have our hands on our hips and we're just like being sassy.
We're being very sassy.
Very
I'm
sassy.
Just like jutting my hip out.
Hi, Sean.
Hi, Ellen. How are you?
I'm good.
That's Ellen Clifford over there.
That's Sean Buchholz.
She is a wine savant, a Mademoiselle Palat.
I'm a wine studier, occasionally a wine writer.
She passed the WSETs. She's passed the first of the Quartermasters.
Yeah, I've got a few things.
Yeah.
That's Sean. He is the wine whisperer who will just looks into your soul and is like, what's
wine,
new?
Wine Reiki.
Wine Reiki. That's what he does. He just feels it and makes it happen.
He
opened up in Barcovel. He worked for Greg Condes. He also passed the intro of the Quartermasters. So
couldn't have done it without you, kid.
We did it together. Yeah.
We just punched it in.
We're punching each other.
I was gonna like knock you on the chin, you know, like you're a good kid.
Oh, I just leaned over.
You just really leaned into
that
punch.
Here you go, punch my chin. I'm just dying for human contact. I'm so desperate.
I don't care if you punch me.
Anyway, we feel just like we have enough credentials to pair our guests' whiny wines, like wines with H's with wines without.
That's right, yeah.
Is the how that goes.
Yeah, we've done that a little bit. And we've talked a lot about it.
Yeah.
God, we've talked a lot about wine.
Shit. That is what one does on a podcast.
That's
true. It is mostly vocal.
So true. We're bringing back the hip sip tip, guys.
Yeah, we're going
to do. Because I know you've missed it.
Yeah, I mean, we'll go back to Grape of Thrones. We just thought we'd take a break for a week.
Yeah, because we still can't decide if it's Grape of Thrones or Grape of the Week.
Yeah.
So we're just going to take a break.
Let it rest. We'll maybe have a conclusion, maybe not. But what's your hip sip tip?
I had the Latitude 50 North, the Sekt Trocken Rosé from Rheingau, Germany.
Oh.
It's a Pinot Noir Rosé.
Yeah.
And after learning that Champagne is on the 49th longitude line.
Spätburgunder Rosé? To use the German term.
That's a German term for Pinot Noir, guys.
But what about the latitude?
But it makes sense. It, like 50 north is probably on the same, latitude. Latitude?
Longitude, yeah.
Longitude?
Longitude's the north to south, so that would be
latitude. Thank you, latitude, yeah. So many things. Latitude. That would be latitude. Yeah. So that makes sense. It's just right above the line of Champagne, which is 49.
Oh, shit.
So
yeah.
That kind of makes sense why they call it that. But I had it at that new restaurant, Melody. I went there in Virgil Village.
Oh, God, that's in my neighborhood. I've been meaning to go.
It was really great, yeah.
Okay,
It was very delicious. I had a great, great meal there.
It's on my to-try list.
To-try list. But yeah, it's a nice, great rosé, sparkling rosé. It's a little creamy, like strawberry, a little lemon zest. It's good.
I'm a huge fan of the Spätburgunders from Germany.
It's a good one. And it's like 50 degree north N. So that's when it's called. What did you hip tip tip?
I had the pleasure today of getting to go taste with half of a winemaking duo, Top Winery, run by Elena Martinez and Stanley Barrios, and they are doing Rhone varietals in Paso Robles. And I knew she was just kind enough to invite me to her house. He was up in Paso Robles. They kind of go back and forth from LA and there. And she was like, "Well, come over and I'll pour you our upcoming releases." And so I tasted a Roussan and I tasted a Syrah. The Roussan is mixed with a little Grenache Blanc. And I knew I was going to like them when we were talking while she's opening. And she's like talking about the temperatures and how hot it gets there and how the whole thing with them naming their winery Top is they're thinking of a spinning top where there's so many elements and craftsmanship and just physics, but the main goal is to have this thing spin continuously in balance, which is like such a good metaphor for what you want from your wine. There's so much going on, but you want it to be balanced. And she's like, yeah, we'll often pick things earlier we'll sacrifice fruit in favor of acid, which is much more old world.
Yeah.
And I tend to be an old world fan. So I was like, I think I'm going to like these wines. And they were fantastic. I can't wait to taste them.
Especially in Paso, too, because it gets so hot up there, depending on where you are. And you want to really pick early.
Yeah. Well, she was saying they buy the Grenache Blanc, just a tiny bit to add to their Roussan to add a little more acid. They buy it from actually someone who I know, Nan Helgeland, who runs Martian Winery, which is a biodynamic winery in Los Olivos.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It was amazing wines. I think we need to have them as guests on the show.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because their wines were incredible, and they were, as people, their whole ethos behind what they're doing with their winery. They hand do like everything.
Cool.
Yeah.
We'll bring a whole bunch of tops and we'll spin them too. Well,
they had a whole collection. She had a whole collection of tops. And
oh, really?
She had a cat named Cleo that was so cute.
Oh, these people sound lovely.
They were amazing.
I'm bummed I couldn't go.
I know. Right? You were invited.
I was invited.
I have a feeling that like we can, well, I told her I'm like, I need to purchase some of these in the future when you actually officially release this. So I'll swing by to pick them up at some point and bring
you
with me.
Awesome. Love it.
Good times.
Should we get into the show?
Let's get into the show. Our guest today, oh my God, I'm so excited. She's a certified SOM, so she's passed tests higher than ours.
She's way more advanced.
Court Masters. She is a SOM at Spago. She has a web series called Adulting with Alcohol, and she started her own clothing line. This is Christy Norman.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
We're so happy you could come.
Yeah, we love having you.
Anticipation. No. Yeah, it was great. We're here to hear your wines, and we have a drink to go with it. And
I have a lot of wines. Don't worry. There's a lot coming.
I'm so
excited.
You're a breathing human being
in
Los Angeles.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be, you know.
Who works at a high-end restaurant, so I can see there would be things to complain about.
Yeah, and Beverly Hills is kind of its own separate world, right?
Yeah.
It's like the fine dining restaurants in other places, you know, that are pretty wealthy and affluent, but Beverly Hills, it's a different space, man.
It's a different universe over there. People like expect different things, but then they're also like more laid back, but then they're also like way more intense too. Yeah. It's such a weird amalgamation of lots of different attributes.
And I got hired at Spago at 21 as a certified SOM. Yeah. So I'm also dealing with, if you haven't seen me, I am very small, very young looking, and Asian. So when somebody asks for the SOM
And
a woman, yes, that too, yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
when somebody asks for the SOM at a restaurant, it's like, are you serving me water? Are you
oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, like, these
and you're like, I know
questions.
What the fuck I'm talking about.
Oh, but it's okay. I mean, like, you learn to deal with it. It's just a funny experience. So I feel like I have, like, some stories that may not happen to other songs.
Yeah, definitely.
Share.
I'm also intrigued how, I mean, you're 24?
I'm 23.
You're 23 and you're a SOM at Spago. That's fucking amazing.
Thank
like,
you
that's so,
so much.
Incredible. Like, yeah, that's just, I'm curious while we talk to get your story.
It was honestly like a weird project, I think, because I was certified and I passed these tests. I passed WSET 3.
That was what my, yeah. did through that.
Did you do WSET 3 as well?
Yeah, but I need to do the certified psalm thing.
Yeah,
I haven't
do
done
it
yet. Yeah.
Right? It's, yeah. It's fun. Like, it's a cool experience.
Yeah.
It's fun to get grilled by masters and stuff. But essentially, I didn't know anything about wine, even though I'd passed these tests, because I just didn't have the producer knowledge. I didn't
yeah.
have all that
yeah.
time on the floor and stuff.
Yeah.
So I basically came in as a blank slate.
Oh.
And I think that's why, you know, and I mostly move a lot of boxes. I'm on the floor, obviously, but,
right.
you know, I'm young. I can run really fast, you know? So there's that.
Christy, get us a box.
Yeah, exactly.
Stock that.
Move this. It's okay. Yeah. Like,
I can do that.
Yeah. But you get to learn about all the wines, and I see on your Instagram all this crazy stuff that you're popping and pouring for people, and I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, that is pretty the most amazing thing about working there is all the wines you get to experience and yeah. see and all that.
Totally. Yeah, my boss, Philip, like, he just teaches me everything, but at the same time, it's like we have 20,000 bottles of wine that, you
yeah.
know, three of us take care of, basically.
Wow.
So
it's insane.
It's rad, yeah.
It is insane. Well, not, let's do a cheers. We do
yeah,
a cheers.
Yeah, well, so, yeah, we can explain. Hopefully we have backup wine to pour if you are not a fan of this. But
Are you serious?
Yes.
I love this. Oh. Tell them what it is.
Oh, good.
I'll tell you
no,
why I love
them.
This.
No, okay, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Let's keep them in suspense.
This is, we wanted something that was kind of a bartender's handshake, the thing that people like all go and drink like after hours, people that work in wine when they're done.
When they don't want to drink any more wine, they've had so much wine.
They can't take it anymore. We brought some Fernet Branc, which you don't like.
No, I love.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yes,
no,
okay,
no,
good.
I love.
Good,
yeah,
good, good.
And
we were so excited we had an excuse to drink it.
This is so crazy, because so my boss, Philip Dunn, sent me to Canlis to stage just to, like, get the culture, and Canlis won, you know, best wine program last year, James Beard.
Mm-hmm.
It was an incredible experience. Nelson Dequip and Jackson Rohrbar, who's now a master sommelier, he just passed last
year. Oh, cool.
Year. Amazing. They all went out. They took the whole staff to celebrate my stage in honor of Philip, because they, like, love Philip so much.
Uh-huh.
And they took me out to this local bar, and we all drank Miller High Lifes and Fernet Branc.
Yes.
Right? And so Philip has these little tiny bottles of Fernet that he keeps at Spago all the time. And there are four that have been sitting in the wine cellar for like the 2 years that I've been there. And he pointed that at them like the first day I got hired. And he was like, those are called attitude adjustments. Okay?
Yes.
If you need one, take one, but ask. And you're not on the clock when you do it. But I just want you to know that they're there. And they've never been touched, but they're always like,
funny.
Our reminder,
Okay, I'm so glad this did match, because I was a little nervous, because I'm like, I know she really likes wine, and this is like all of us who work in spirit, we all want to drink Fernet at the end of the day, just because it's so delicious.
I want to drink Fernet or beer.
Yeah.
And exactly, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I mean, and also, we might have some left of our last thing if you decide you want some bubbly. But
from Sussex.
I'm glad you're jazzed for the Fernet, because we were all so excited. I'm like, Sean, we could drink Fernet.
What is Fernet, Ellen?
It's an Amaro.
Ooh, an Amaro.
It's a bitter liqueur.
Is that like a digestif?
It's a digestif. Ooh.
So digestive.
Yeah.
It's an herbaceous digestive, guys.
From Italy.
Love it. It's like in the Campari realm.
Mm, yeah, but more
but only,
better.
Yeah, only after your meal.
And not
orangey,
but better.
But way better. So wait, did Chris Miller hire? Was Chris Miller there, or was that?
No, he
had
was
already.
Actually the one that inspired me to work at Spago. He taught my intro exam.
Oh.
And so he was talking for most of the time. He's pretty, like, charismatic. And
yeah.
He was awesome.
Cool,
you know,
dude.
He's come in a few times.
Know him. He wasn't our intern.
No, he was not.
No, he won like Best Young Somm, I think, and he was the wine director at Spago. And so that was the first time I had ever actually heard of Spago. Like, of course, I'd heard of Wolfgang Puck and the whole empire, but really hearing that Spago was like this huge place for wine was not.
Were you born and raised in L.A. or no?
I was born in Japan, and I lived, but I've lived in L.A. for like most of my life.
Okay.
It just wasn't something that, you know,
yeah.
for whatever reason, people my age don't really know Spago. Like,
whenever
I talk to, like, you know, younger 20s.
I was a foodie, so I probably would have known of, I didn't live here then, but I'd heard of it. But yeah, I think younger people don't know wine either, for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, you have an amazingly sophisticated taste for anyone, really, actually.
But, really?
Like, what's average age, though, of your clientele at Spago?
Probably, like, 50.
Okay.
Yeah.
I still haven't been, so I'm like,
there are guests
I'll go by the time I'm 50.
There are literally people that have come in like over 300 times. Wow. 300 to 700. There was somebody with a reservation. They have like standing on Saturday nights. And they've come in 700 times because we've been open 35 years.
Yeah.
So these are like Wolfgang's friends from like back in the
wow.
day.
Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah. It's like family. I'd say like 50% of our people are VIPs and
wow.
like friends, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it's that's cool. so great.
That's yeah. great. Yeah. I love the redo. They did a big remodel like 2 years ago.
No, it was like 6 years ago.
Oh my
now.
God.
I know.
Really?
I know. I just asked about that because everyone always talks about this remodel. And so I wanted like a definitive
yeah, time. It's like six years ago. Now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I went there before, and then I've been a couple times after. We did a Covell dinner there, or aww. Lunch there once. That's where we had our, like, 1858 Madeira.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, it was at Spargo,
yes.
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I went to Covell. I love Covell.
Oh,
it was my favorite place, because I just yeah. walked in there like, what do you feel like?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, what?
Like, what? What? See a menu. We don't have a menu.
yeah. You're like, wait. Are you being a total dick? Are you being total awesome?
Right. Are you
yeah,
messing
no,
with
but
me?
I loved it. I was like, I want something Italian and dirty. And they're like,
they know
perfect.
What you mean?
Perfect. Yeah.
They have like
perfect.
100 things by the glass. It's so awesome.
Yeah. My home away from home. That's how I know Sean.
That's right. It's how we met.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I was, well, I had first met Dustin when he bartended at Stella in Silver Lake, and I had a friend who lived nearby, and we'd finish our play rehearsal and like go there, and he would keep refilling our drink, and then he's like, I'm opening, and this is right when I first moved here, and then he's like, I'm opening this bar called Covell, and we all just kind of like followed him there, and it's yeah, and then I got more obsessed with wine and was studying, so I just go there by myself.
Studying.
Mm-hmm. I got to practice for those blind tastes. Yeah, but yeah. So I love Covell all my heart.
It's fine.
You only helped open it.
Yeah, like, I built the tables. I painted the walls.
Only that.
Gave all my money. That I
gave my life away.
Gave my life, literally, seriously.
Yeah, you did.
We did, yeah. We opened it with nothing. It's crazy.
But it's so amazing, and it's such there. Like a sommelier hub. I tell people to go there all
yeah.
the time.
Yeah, a lot really? Of wine people come in, too.
I meet so many other yeah. wine people there, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, so at the age of 21, how did you get into wine? Like,
yeah.
what first made that happen that you ended up at Spago at 21? Like, what led up to that? Were you working in restaurants?
When I was 16, I was a waitress at a tea house, and we had 120 different teas. And I think suggesting beverages, you know, based on their terroir and the country and the style
yeah.
that, and the aromas was a really familiar subject to me. Like, I was always really into that. And then my parents went through a really rough divorce when I was a kid, and my mom really needed help. I had to get a second job.
So you had to start drinking. And
well, right, exactly.
got a drinking habit, and
I was a corporate trainer for a barbecue restaurant called Lucille's. They're like mostly in like Costa Mesa and stuff, mm-hmm. but one is in Valencia where I lived. And
I went to Kellard's.
Did you really? Yeah, it's like right next door. So there was one steakhouse that opened in the city, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go get hired there. And they're like, we can't hire you as a waiter. Like, you have no experience. I was 20 at the time. Maybe I think I was 19, like just about to turn 20.
Yeah.
And they were like, we'll start you as a bar back. So I was being a trainer during the day, and then at night I would go work at the steakhouse as a bar back. And
wow.
I was a bar back for a month. I was a food runner for like 2 months, and they promoted me to server because I knew my stuff. Like,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
I worked really hard. And the only edge, I knew I needed an edge to like be the best server ever, and that was to learn about the wine. So I just started forcing myself. And I was 20, and I was reading all these books. I read like Kevin Raleigh's and Sotheby's and stuff.
Yeah.
And I just started making it a daily thing. And by the time I took the intro test, like 2 weeks after my 21st birthday, like
wow.
I had been studying for like 6 months, and I studied way too hard. I mean, I think like the intro test is great, and I
the
think
court?
It's, yeah, through the yeah. court. Yeah, yeah. It's like it's very broad, and you get like a really great handle. You can tell like if somebody's passed intro, they know their stuff. Like
yeah.
pretty generally, it's like you got. You know, you bought the puzzle.
You're
in it. You're committed, right?
Yeah.
And
you bought the puzzle.
I like way overstudied. I was so crazy. So I was like, you know what? Let me just sign up for certified. And then I studied for the next 6 months with some certified somms in my city.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I just
see. I
want to
find some people to study with before I sign up because I'm I mean, I did the W set through level 3, but I feel like, which I feel is like similar probably from what I've heard to the certified psalm, but I haven't done the service part and with wine. And also I'm like, you have to know producers more.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's
for
the
sure.
hard part for me not working in a restaurant. So I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. W set was great though. I felt like I had a lot of gaps because, you know, our quartermasters is self-study.
Yeah.
And there were whole like chunks that I was kind of missing. And then I sat through the classes and I was like, oh, this is how that actually works. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's super helpful.
Oh, the classes? With the
Yeah, the classroom setting.
And
like,
there were
the
weird blanks in the intro level of the quartermasters, like in terms of like, I don't think they covered like Provence or Southern France at all. Or like,
mm-hmm.
like there were, and I don't know, there were weird gaps, but I guess the two sort of balanced each other out maybe.
They have so much to cover in like 2 days.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Like, if you didn't know anything about wine and you just walked into that class, I don't know if you'd pass.
Totally.
Yeah. Because
it's a lot.
It's a lot. It is a lot. And they want, like, specific, you know, they want you to know about specific areas, too.
Right.
Yeah. And, like, new stuff. I noticed, like, when I tested, they had something about, like, orange mm-hmm. in Australia. That's or Tumbarumba or something that was, like, kind of a new up-and-coming region at the time.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And somebody told me to study that. They were like, oh, that's, like, becoming trendy now. You better study it. And it was on the test. There was, like, one question or something. I don't know.
Hmm.
I do not know about Orange, Australia. I was just reading about the Great Southern region is up and coming with like Franklin or Mount Barker, Australia.
South Africa?
Oh, you're talking about South Africa.
Yeah.
I, for some reason in my mind, I've just been thinking about South Africa.
I don't know
Australia.
What we're talking about anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. Confused.
We're drinking for
Fernet.
I don't know.
South Africa or South America?
Australia.
Or South
Australia? Well, South Australia is a big... Yeah, I'm
Yeah,
I'm
South
not
Australia
the
is the big one.
Okay, yeah. See, I clearly know nothing and should not sign up for certified.
You have help.
You should do it.
You should totally
you
do
should
it.
You should totally do it.
Yeah.
I would do it with you, but, you know.
You don't have to.
I love wine. I really, really love wine. I just don't know if I really care that much about continuing taking tests and getting the pins.
I love taking tests.
I'm not saying the test. I mean, I think it would be a good, like, well-rounded sort of thing to have done, but I'm also slightly intimidated and scared that I don't think I'd pass.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, but there's a lot of people that I respect a lot that don't have any certifications at all.
Right. Matt Kaner.
Matt Kaner, I was literally
Matt Kaner's
just
never taken
say,
a single
like,
test.
Yeah, and he's like one of the best psalms in Los Angeles, and he's actually doing stuff and like making huge waves in the wine community.
Yeah.
And like that's what a psalm is. So I'm like, who's the bigger psalm?
Who's the bigger psalm?
Who's a real psalm?
I just want to stage, follow people around and learn how to serve in the first place because I've never actually worked as a psalm. I'm like, I think I want to.
Yeah.
I think it'd be good.
You'd be good at it.
I just like to tell people about wine. Tell them I love to tell people what to drink. So,
just like a good like you know the restaurant setting is it can be like super you know high paced and crazy like moving boxes and all that kind of stuff. So it is this weird sort of mix of how do I like do all this like labor like running around and doing stuff and then also how do you like bring it down to like a real like personal level with someone and just talk to them about wine.
Which
so it's like mixing up.
We should ask you. You had horror stories. We should ask you more about
yeah.
your wine.
Oh,
your
yeah, tell us more about your wines.
I'm curious, like if specific stories you wanted to get out, or I have like all sorts of questions. But if you have got certain stories, I love
mean,
to hear.
I always have stories. One of my favorite things that happened a couple weeks ago. We actually have a button in the computer that the servers order, like as like a Diet Coke, they can order a wine steward go. So it like tells us, it literally orders us as like a ticket and it tells us the seat position and the table because we asked for like so often. People have really gotten in the habit of relying on us, which is great.
Yeah.
But I go to this table and this man says, hey, you know, I don't really know about wine. My girlfriend, she likes Merlot. I know she likes Merlot, but I don't really like wines with the...
Yeah.
You know?
That is often how people describe it,
and
though.
He just made
like
a little chipmunk sound like that?
That tannin, the bitter flavor, is that what you mean? The kind of puckering? He's like the, you know?
The tannins, bud.
I was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't have any Merlot by the glass, but I think I have something that's perfect. Okay, so I go to fill up my boss, and I'm like, Ridge Merlot? He's like, Ridge Merlot, let's do it. I mean, it's a great producer, right?
Yeah.
But really reasonable, like $100, awesome. And so I bring it to him. He tastes it. He looks at it and he's like, you know, it just doesn't have enough.
Oh, God.
Of the.
Oh, no. You told me not.
I was getting red. I got red in the face and I was like, absolutely. Like, let me get something else. So I poured him a Shiraz that we had by the glass. I just poured, and he loved it because there's like kind of right in the middle, I guess.
Yeah.
But my boss was like, "What? You gave him exactly what he wanted."
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, these are the things that happen, you know, and it's hard.
Do people just turn down bottles because they don't like them?
Yeah, I mean, I think there
is. Supposed to.
That's kind of rude.
It doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people
do. And did his wife like it? Because she liked Merlot.
She didn't even try it.
What?
No, I know. She
so
didn't
he's
even
rude
consult
to you
her.
And her.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. Wow. It's all right. Yeah. You know what?
I feel bad for her, though. She might have loved that.
She might have loved it. And it was such a good wine. But it's like, you know, just give the people what we want, whatever, you know? It's like, we'll make our margins in other places. And then, you know, one of us can take it home at the end of the
night. Oh,
yeah.
Perfect.
It's okay. You know?
I just
no,
can't.
Sir, let me take this LaTosha away.
Yeah, exactly.
You.
Like,
I know. Like,
yeah. We were talking about that. Like, and we're like, what would we do in that situation? I don't know. But you can't really refuse.
Yeah.
You know, after you order like a Petrus or something.
Yeah.
Like, that, exactly. That would
yeah,
be rude.
You,
like,
unless
that,
it's corked, unless it's flawed.
If it's
corked,
then yeah.
Right.
That's different.
But there have been situations. I think, you know, some guests are really, really, really sensitive to cork, and I am as well.
Yeah.
I am not always super sensitive to pyrazines. Like, when I'm doing a blind tasting, sometimes
I
can't. See, sometimes, like, I just miss the first, like, when I first go to the wine, I don't get any green, and then I'll come back to it, and I'm like, whoa, it's, like, smacking me in the face.
Yeah.
But cork is something that, like, really, like, gets me. I know, like, 100%, even when it's really cold. And so sometimes, like, somms and guests may have, like, the guest may pick it up and the somm doesn't. And I feel like that's like a really awkward situation. Like, that's why you got to blind taste all the time and like make sure you're in practice.
For sure.
You know?
So true.
There was one thing that I really did want to share because it was the craziest story. And I love talking about this. It's so awesome. So I'm not going to say who it was, but it was an ex-politician in California who's very famous.
Of course,
we'll not say who the person was.
We will not say who it
They're
was.
Not
I will
say
not.
Us.
She's not allowed to.
Yeah, it was awesome. So go to the table. He is on a date with his boyfriend. They seem really nice when I get there.
Wait, what? We're thinking of a different politician then.
Maybe,
It's a white male. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oops.
It really narrows it down.
We were thinking of one with an Austrian accent.
No.
Okay.
Not that one. Different one.
Oh, okay.
So I go to the table. He says that he needs a little help with the wine list, and he's looking at the Cheval Blanc. So Cheval Blanc, we only had one vintage at the time, and it was like $2,400. And I knew he was a politician going to the table. That totally could have been a thing. So I lean over just to kind of confirm, and he's like, wait, no, Blanc. Oh, no, I wanted a red wine, and he starts flipping. And I was like, oh, no, sir, you had the right one, the Saint-Emilion, the red one. And I was like, that's really strange, because like you should know that Cheval Blanc is called Cheval Blanc, even though it says Blanc, it is a red wine, right?
That's
the name of the chateau. So
he also likes Merlot. Everyone who goes to Spago wants the Merlot deep in their hearts.
So I'm a little like, okay, does he know what he's doing, right? So I lean over and kind of like subtly with my finger, because the names of the wine are on the left and then the prices are on the very right. And there's no like dots connecting them.
That's annoying.
I know,
like,
it really is. I kind of want to change it.
It drives me nuts.
It's hard. Yeah, and it's like, Cheval Blanc, it says $2,400. So I was like, this one? And I was just confirming, and I'm pointing at the $2,400 price. And he's like, and then I realized he was looking at the one above it, which was $150, right? And I said, oh, sir, did you mean the Chateau Guadet, this 03? It's fantastic. It's really delicious. And he's like, yeah, that's the one I wanted. So I was like, perfect. Like, okay, that was like a huge, like we just saved that. I come back, I asked to decant it. I go back and he was like, so why did you decant this wine? And I said, just to separate it from its sediment. I think it's nice when it opens up a little bit, just from personal experience with this one. And he was like, so where is this located? And I said, it's from Saint-Emilion. And he says, where in Saint-Emilion? And I was like, you know, I don't know. Like, let me find out. I don't know, like, exactly where it is.
Yeah.
And he's like, so you're not the real Somm. And I was like, oh, no, sir, I am a real Somm. I just don't know exactly where this particular chateau is located. And this is like a $50
Saint-Emilion Grand Cru.
Yeah, and this is not even like a very expensive one.
Right. This is like I think Chateau Guadet is delicious, but it is not like such a historical significant producer like Cheval Blanc on the, you know, border of Pomerol, right? Like, it's important because the soils change and that stuff, but like, that one is not something that I would know. And I was like, maybe I'm an idiot, right? So, like, there's a moment because I'm young and kind of stupid sometimes. I miss things.
That would probably be my
right.
I miss,
But then, and I was like, you know, I'm not sure, sir. Let me find out. He's like, no. See, you're not a real Somm. A real Somm would know No. Where the chateau is located. And I was like blue in the face. I just walked away and I was like, I had the server kind of handle most of the situation throughout the night. I just like topped off here and there. But I was like, I was like, because that's kind of like asking for the street address, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, San Emilion is a tiny region and or a tiny.
It's pretty small. Yeah, it's not like a
not even
area.
A region. It's an appellation within Right Bank Bordeaux. It's very specific. Like the fact that you knew San Emilion should be enough. Like, dude, get the fuck over yourself.
But there's no like regions where like it tastes different that would be like significant for us, right? Like, I don't know of any like villages that really like taste different. Like, or, like, have a style, you know?
You should have just been like, it's by the Garonne River. No.
So, okay.
I would just be like, it's near this river.
I dropped it into these Facebook groups. I just put the story because I was legitimately like, should I have known that? And there's like MWs, there's Master Psalms in these groups. There's a ton of advanced. And everyone was like, wow, he's a douchebag.
Yeah.
You know? And everyone was telling me like all these things that I could have said that would have like totally BS'd him, but totally been correct.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
South of the Gironde estuary. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
East of, exactly.
Bergerac
it's on the plain.
On the east, And he wouldn't know though.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but I was trying to be nice and like
asshole.
Be honest and not make up some random stuff.
Just
you never know when someone actually does know.
Yeah.
Just I'll always like list other
across
appellations
two rivers
around it. Yeah.
And
near it's, a river.
Yeah.
Sure. Near the plain?
Yeah.
It's in the plain near Shovel Block.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's north of Arugli. Yeah. You're welcome. Just say things. You're not gonna know what that
is. I would have said the soils are almost the same as the $2,400 wine you didn't order.
Right. And the whole time I'm thinking like, bro, I just saved $2,400.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Well, just like the audacity of someone say you're not the real Psalm.
Yeah, that's fucking an asshole thing. And the thing is, okay.
I mean, it comes back to that. You're like, I'm a steward in a restaurant serving you wine. I am a psalm.
Okay, as a woman, I'm just gonna say if you were a man, I don't think you'd say that.
That's what my boss said.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know.
Well, no, I've run into like I just buying at a lot of wine bars like I go to, and they just like think you. I don't know, like a lot of restaurants, wine people assume you're a female, are youngish. I'm not young, but they
you're
just
pretty youngish.
They assume you don't know. I people assume that, and they just assume that you don't fucking know what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
and you know what? Like a year ago, this probably would have destroyed me. Like I would have felt so bad because I wanted to like be really good and you know?
Yeah.
And I was studying my butt off, and I think that if I hadn't, I would have like cried. I just would have been like totally disheartened and like I should have known that. But now I'm sitting here and I'm like I know
never
a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
No.
And you didn't even know that Cheval Blanc. It's the Cheval Blanc.
Yeah,
is one of the four Grand Cru Classés. Like, are you kidding me?
That's like something we memorized for the test.
This is very basic.
Name me the three other. No. Yeah. You should have been like, well, do you know what the three other?
Yeah. Where's Angelus? Where's Pavi? Bitch.
Yeah. Like, get into it.
I was so mad. Oh.
Well, it used to happen all the time at Coval when we first opened, too, because I wasn't necessarily supposed to work there. I jumped behind the bar to, like, help because it was so busy from the beginning. So there was a lot of wine people that came in the beginning because of Matthew, and it just countless people would just, like, shame me.
Oh.
And, like, that's partly how I learned.
I mean, he
you
knows
know, on
so
the fly because
much.
People
yeah.
being like, that's totally, or no, like, that's incorrect, or
ooh.
You don't, or like, or ask me questions. I'm like, you know, I don't know. And then you'd go find out and feel awkward. You're like, oh, I should really have known that, you know, and dealing with wine, you know, I should have known this and that. But it was such a crazy experience in the beginning because, you know, I had a very basic wine knowledge before we started, and it was, you know, so
now
busy.
You know so much. Like,
yeah, I know. And I learned so much just from having to repeat it and being shamed into learning.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's how I learned, too.
Because, but like a lot of times you're like, oh, I should know this. And now I'm like, if someone could say anything to me and I'm like, I don't know. Or like, I know, but like if I like just because I don't know doesn't mean I'm not validated here to like serve you wine or to talk to you about wine. Because I know a lot about wine.
Yeah.
It doesn't like challenge me. It doesn't shake me to the core in the way that it did in the beginning.
Absolutely.
Which is a good place to be.
Yeah. I think like now hanging out with a lot of people who know a lot about wine and hearing them just say like, I have no idea. Like that's so
exactly.
Wonderful.
It's so refreshing to hear that. Because anyone who knows a lot about wine would be the first to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's find out.
I have no idea.
Let's find out. Mm-hmm. This is fun because like wine is ever changing and growing and even stuff you know you forget. You know, you're like, oh, I got to go back and revisit that and restudy that.
What's been giving me shame recently is those Guild Psalm crosswords. I don't know if you saw on the Guild Psalm site, they started doing weekly crosswords.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. Go in the, like, I think it's just under the discussion, or but yeah, they're doing weekly crosswords, and I just, like, end up having to look up so much stuff to, like, get through them.
But that's great.
But I'm learning all, I'm like, oh, Blangy, it's the Meursault and Pouligny Montrachet red wines. Who knew?
Look at you.
That was what I learned
so
today.
That's so random. I
no,
love
it's
it.
So random, I but I feel that. Like it's something they would ask you and like either maybe that's more, I don't know if that's more advanced or more certified, but I'm
that
just like, I
would probably
wouldn't.
Be an advanced question.
Yeah, okay. I think the crosswords go a little more advanced, but they just force me to look up all this shit. I'm like, it's just so good. Like, yeah.
Do you want to keep going with the court? Do you want to go all the way here? Or
I definitely would like to do advanced. So I applied. I did not get in the exam this year.
It's crazy they make you apply.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's so many applicants. Like, I heard there's over 900 applicants for 180 seats. So it just kind of makes sense. I think, you know, I would like to say that I'll be satisfied with just advanced. I think just because I'm a female and a minority that I will try to pass masters just because I don't think that there are enough women.
Yeah.
And, you know, and also it like really...
I'm tempted to do it just for the... I'm like, I'm a woman. I should
Yeah. And not that I'm, you know, all about, you know, female empowerment all the time. Like, we have to be the best or something. It's just like, you know, I would love to see a balanced representation of our community.
Absolutely.
Because I would love, you know, there's so many chick psalms on my Instagram that message me and they're like, yeah, you know, I want to be a psalm, but there's no, you know, female psalms in my whole city. You know, they're out in, you know, in the Midwest. I'm serious, you know, and I get so many of these messages from these girls and they're like, I'm so happy that you're doing it. And I would love to be able to like show everyone that, you can be a freaking master psalm if you want.
Yeah.
And that don't be surprised when you see one come to your table.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right.
And we can be cool and sexy and knowledgeable all at the same time, bitches. You know?
Yeah.
Take care of that.
Just drink this and take that.
And you don't need pockets.
Yeah.
And, oh, someone went at our intro thing when they were doing, like, at the end of the first day, they were doing, like, a service demo, and this one girl raised her hands, and she's like, but what about, she's like, you're always talking about pockets, and people don't fucking put pockets in women's clothes. And, like,
I
you
sew
need
mine.
Them.
I sew mine in.
Whoa.
I get them, I take them to the tailor. That's my only dress requirement at
Spago. Go team you.
I have no dress requirement.
Oh, shit.
I always wear dresses with pockets.
Do they need other young,
they just add. You just add a pocket?
Aspirational?
No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
No, my dresses, all the every dress I wear has pockets because I've sewed them in or they already come with them.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. That's
no,
funny.
I love it because it's so hard to find.
Because you need
clothes.
It, a place to put your wine key when you're doing service.
Yeah. Dresses are great.
When you take the foil off?
Yeah,
there's it's one piece of clothing. I'm lazy. I just one thing to put on. The best.
Yeah.
The best.
No, I'm a dress fan, too.
Clearly.
You and I are both. We're both in little black dresses, just like living our lives. This is my truth. I'm very basic little black dress. That's all I need, and it's
and
one
happy.
Thing, and I'm comfortable.
I'm happy and comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a romp-him.
Tell us what you're wearing.
It's kind of a singlet.
Your
it's a take
socks.
On the romper.
Socks, Sean.
I am wearing decorative socks.
Ooh,
you guys,
they're
little sledders.
Oh my God, so Olympic
because
appropriate.
I'm going to Mammoth tomorrow.
Oh shit!
It's my brother's birthday tomorrow.
Aww.
Happy birthday, Kevin.
Happy
there's
Kevin.
Snow.
I know it's snowing like right now. Yeah, but it's also 14 degrees there. So we're going for his 40th birthday.
Yeah.
So exciting.
There was one more thing.
Yes.
Pray tell.
That I just.
Because you're gonna ace the lightning round.
Oh my God. There's a lightning round? Yeah. Oh my God.
There is. You'll get it.
So one thing that guests do that annoy the heck out of me is when they order, they ask me to come to the table or the psalm, and they're like, hey, so we're doing a chirashi box to start. We're doing a pasta split. She's doing the Dover sole. I'm doing the veal, and they're doing the rib cap. Can you recommend a bottle of wine that pairs with all of it?
Grand Cru Champagne.
I wanted to ask you guys, like, what would you say? So Grand Cru Champagne.
I would say sparkling or a rosé. Or Gamay.
Well, how would you approach that? I don't know.
I would steer them away from getting a bottle.
Oh, yeah.
First of all.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I usually just go to the conversation of like, well, what do you feel like drinking?
Yeah, what do you feel like drinking?
There's usually like a really specific answer, and it's like, I was never going to get there.
No.
Yeah.
You know, you want Grenache from Australia? Okay, that's what water's for. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to get a perfect pairing in this situation.
No, you're not.
I mean,
yeah.
But it drives me up the wall. I don't know if like Wine Spectator like said or something for everyone to ask, like the psalm to pair all your food.
No.
But then you need to do a wine pairing with your meal. Like that's why they do that.
We have
that,
those.
Yeah.
Their wine pairings exist. It's a pairing of one thing with another, not five things with one thing. Like
it is the biggest challenge though when you're out to dinner with your friends who don't know about wine. They're like, oh, just pick a bottle for us. I'm like, well, what is everyone having?
I know.
And I have to like break it down. I'm like, well, what are you gonna have? Okay, this wouldn't work. This will kind of work for everybody, you know, and it's almost better to do glasses in that regard, because if people's entrees are different,
I mean, if they really wanted one bottle that paired with everything, I would just say sparkling.
Yeah, champagne always goes with everything.
Not,
Or a light red, you know, light red is the way to go. Gamay,
like Beaujolais Cru.
Yeah, I actually did a little training with the servers on Tuesday, and I had the chefs make pasta. We have like this agnolotti that we're super famous for, and so I had them make it in the morning for lineup, and I poured them Krug. Our Wolfgang Puck like Chardonnay that we like blend or whatever. It's like our thing with Puck Lotto. And then a Brunello. And I think all three of those paired very well, but in like different ways. Like you can approach. And so I was trying to like teach them the concept that wine pairing is like totally objective or subjective rather.
Yeah.
And that, you know, the Brunello is going to like cut through and be super high acid and kind of balance with the cream and fat. Or you could do the Chardonnay where the butteriness like kind of accentuates that aspect of the dish.
Jump
and then champagne
board.
Like goes with everything. And I was, you know, it's not like one specific wine goes with one specific dish.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like people are like, well, I don't know. I'm always like, well, what's the sauce? What's the spice? It's like, ugh.
There's an argument, though, for a lot of stuff. I made this reference in one of my videos. I do like a food and wine pairing video. And
I think I've gotten to that one yet, but I did watch the most recent Riesling one.
Where I'm like flying around in space with bottles of Riesling.
Riesling.
And what are those? The banh mi sandwiches. Mm. They're like flying in space around my head.
Perfect. That's a great pairing.
I talk about how pairing wine is like decorating an apartment. And there's a million different ways that you can pair it. You know, you can decorate the apartment, but you have to acknowledge and understand the major aspects of the dish. So like in a room, for instance, it might be like a giant red leather sofa.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to decorate around these major items.
The steak.
Right. And like acknowledge the steak. Right. Like you need like some tannin or some protein or acid or whatever.
Yeah.
And once you have those key elements, all the aromas are like little decorations.
Yeah.
You know, and you might have a Brunello versus a Barolo, and both of those things might pair very well, but you know, the Barolo is going to have a little bit of this, and the Brunello is going to have a little bit of that.
Brunello.
I'm on Team Barolo.
I'm on Team Brunello right now.
Brunello. I'm Team Brunello.
Damn. Oh my God.
Which team?
Brunello.
Love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm still on Team Barolo, but
they're both winners.
They're both winners.
They're both winner teams.
Absolutely.
Even Barbaresco is like my, you know.
I go both ways.
I go both
my
ways.
Lover.
Go both ways.
My weekend lover.
I'm either a Nebbiolo or a Sangiovese, depending on what I'm in the mood for.
I'm polyamorous with my wines. I have a primary,
grapes.
I have a secondary, and then I have a boyfriend. And, you know.
You're poly?
And a girlfriend. I'm poly.
You poly with your wines?
I'm poly wine.
Poly wine.
Poly wine.
Should we get into lightning round?
Lightning round.
It's raining. It's raining.
I like that better than the drops.
You like that better? My little It's Raining song?
I like the It's Raining song a little better than the...
Oh, yeah. The My Raindrops?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think that just confused people.
I know.
But I got it.
Well, ever since we had our guests, you know, give that mouth noise as their descriptor for wine, I can never do that again.
No.
You know.
That was his raindrop noise, but it's also very...
It was my raindrop noise. I can't do it ever again now. I'll never do that again.
I've had people, though, describe tannins to me that way. So many... Have you, like, people have been like, I don't like wine. We should just always now just be like, you don't like raindrops in your wine.
People be like, what?
Like,
you don't listen to my podcast?
You don't listen to my podcast? What the fuck?
Stop.
Take it down.
You are clearly a amateur and
amateur.
We can't be friends.
What's your first question?
My first question is, when was Fernet Branca first introduced? What year? Like the very first year?
15, 16,
17? It's actually not that...
18?
In the 18s.
I'm giving a little hint. A little higher.
1850.
Close. Slightly lower.
Slightly lower. Do you have the same question?
No, I just had it as a fact.
45. Close.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know. I felt like
1845 is the first
one. I felt like people just put bitters and do these Amaro things for a really long time.
Yeah. I think this was the first time it was sold or introduced to the market. You know, I'm sure there was a old granny making it, but monks and grannies.
Monks have the best job,
right?
I would be lit if I was a monk.
That's all they do is they make alcohol and they pray.
That's the best life.
That's the best life, guys. We get to pray just to make it today. I say we pray. Pray.
Pray to the Fernet.
Pray to the Fernet. Ooh, en français. Okay. Ellen, question?
One of the first times
I like Fernet Branca. This is fun.
Really good. Got into it was because someone made me a Dobbs cocktail, and I went to Old Fields in Culver City and was asked them to make me a Dobbs, and I had to explain it. And the bartender was such a snob. He's like, I'd use another Fernet. But I was I was like,
people shade Fernet Branca sometimes.
Okay.
No, this guy just wanted to show that he knew that there were more than one Fernet. And I'm like, well, I went to Dobbs. They use Fernet Branca. So do you know any other drinks made with Fernet? There aren't that many.
No,
not
I don't.
That many, yeah. I don't really know. Yeah.
I only drink Fernet Branca Menta, by itself.
Oh, okay.
On a date, when you need a mint, but you don't want to ask for mint.
Bring me
can I just have a Fernet Branca Menta?
That's a good move.
That means I like you.
Clutch move. Cheers on that. Cheers on that clutch move. Yeah.
You know the date's
Hint.
Going well.
Yeah, exactly. You know the date's going well when your date orders a Fernet Branca at the end because they had the garlic pasta.
Well, a Dobbs is more or less a rinse of Fernet and then a Manhattan.
Oh, okay.
It's delicious. It's wonderful. It has all the things you love in a Manhattan plus a hint of freshness. I looked up a lot of drinks. Yeah, this was a hard question.
Do you have some?
Yeah, what are they?
Tell me more.
Well, Toronto is 2 parts rye, 3/4 parts, or ounces, I guess, Fernet, and 1/4 of simple. There's the Kemble House, which is 2 ounces gin, 1/4 ounce Fernet, 3/4 ounce dry vermouth that came from a book called A Sideboard for the Gentleman, written in 1926.
Oh, wow.
There's the Hanky Panky.
What's
the 2 parts gin, 1 part sweet vermouth, and 1/4 part Fernet. I need to make that one because I like the sounds of that.
Yeah. Hanky Panky.
2 parts gin, 1 sweet vermouth, 1/4 Fernet. I'm going to make that tonight.
Are fun, guys.
You guys are fun.
That's what we do here. We just have fun.
This is fun.
Yeah.
This is a fun podcast. This podcast is all about
I'm so happy that you were into the Fernet. I was a little worried. I was just a little worried because I'm this is anyone who does wine likes Fernet, but I was a little worried that...
I know. She's not a real Somme.
No, not even that.
She's I don't like Fernet. I'm you're not a real Somme then.
No.
So where's the real Somme?
I just thought maybe you're only a wine person. There are those people.
Oh, the nightmare.
So my other memory of Fernet, because you also said you wanted to complain about it, and this we could do a whole nother podcast maybe about douchey Sommes. And my first steady Fernet memory is when I was into cocktails before wine, and I was hanging out at Old Fields, the cocktail place, and there would be these posses of mixologist bros who would come in after shift.
They
to
sound
the bar.
Like a lot of fun.
Oh god, they would come in a posse and then get shots of Fernet and then high five each other for whatever infusion they made. And that was I was like, oh, Fernet, that's what people that know about drinks drink. But then I drank it and I'm like, oh fuck yeah,
it's really delicious. Yeah.
It's delicious and bitter and
people who like flavors.
Yes.
It has a lot of flavor to it.
It's
you
a
guys
lot of flavor.
Basically
you guys, it's very bitter.
It's the opposite of a vodka soda.
Yes. If you drink vodka soda.
You don't know what Fernet
is. I drink vodka sodas. You drink? I'm trying to get lit, yeah.
Oh, well, you're trying to get lit.
When I'm getting lit, know it's going down if I order a vodka soda. It's my drink.
Totally.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. There's a place for it there, but I'm saying if you actually want to taste any, if you actually are sipping for any sort of flavor, different vibe.
No.
So on that note, what is the ABV of Fernet Branca?
I don't know that.
Probably 17 and a half.
Oh, no. 20. Go high.
Oh, wait.
Go high.
I'm looking at the bottle right now.
I'm like, it's so sweet, though.
Yeah, wait. But that's fucking shit is 40? High alcohol. Almost.
40?
Yeah, 39.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's super in the
it's
show
so
every time.
It's so delicious. That's what I was
so
wrong.
Cozy in here.
I know, it's really warm.
Yeah.
It's a very cold day in Los Angeles, by the way, everybody.
Yes.
So. It's very chilly for here.
I have 3 jackets.
I'm in a tank top, but I'm always hot.
And wearing like these little skimpy dresses. Yeah.
I know. Why do they wear this dress?
Sean.
I'm sorry, this romper. This romp
yeah,
him.
Yeah, the romper. The romp him. Hey. Romp him.
Why do they wear this romper? Him? Such a bad choice. I don't know. Fashion, guys. Ugh.
Quick question. Where is the most Fernet sipped?
I'm assuming Italy. I feel like Italians consume.
Argentina.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
That's cool. I would confirm that based on, like, people I met. The same bar where the douchey subs or douchey mixologist came in, I had a friend who her friend was from Argentina, and he was like, we all just drink. They drink Fernet and soda.
Wow.
Coke soda, sorry. Like Coca-Cola. It's like an after-dinner drink to settle the tummy.
Fernet and Coke.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know people do that.
I mean, it's
pretty
yeah.
normal.
Yeah, yeah, right? But apparently that's really big in Argentina.
Wow, that's cool. I want to go to Argentina.
Yeah.
Let's go.
That's a great fun fact about this.
Yeah, I mean.
Nice.
Yeah, Argentina. I guess that makes sense. After you have like a big old beef steak dinner, you're like, I want some Fernet.
A little too much Malbec.
Yeah.
And they're carving you're so hot, they're carving the stuffed table side.
You have to counteract the bath soap trend taste. No, sorry.
Is that a Fogo de Chão or whatever? What's it called?
Oh, God.
Fogo de Chão.
Fogo de Chão.
I'm thinking Brazilian. What
Brazilian,
am I thinking?
Yeah.
That's okay.
That's fun, too. I went there once. That place is fun.
I like the rolls.
It's like a meat Chuck E. Cheese.
I don't eat meat, so I don't know.
Meat Chuck E. Cheese.
I don't know. I've had a lot of Fernet, guys.
We have one last question.
He's been refilling his glass,
you guys,
everybody.
The bottle's gone.
I mean, my glass is empty, so I don't know.
Well. Shh. I could take a nap. Just kidding.
He did say he was running off. I thought that was to see your friend, but
no, to take a nap.
Yeah. We have one more question we ask everyone. What's making you happy? What's bringing you joy?
Bringing you joy.
I started these tasting groups at Spago, and it's silly, but I really get upset sometimes when I see these masters of wine and master sommeliers that aren't like helping other people. Mm. And I'm, you know, it's once you pass that test, it's not like a reason for you to just check out, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like passing on what you know and like educating and like helping other people is super important after you do that, after you pass that test. And so I was really insecure about like teaching other people for a really long time. And then I was doing the adulting with alcohol stuff and kind of getting a lot of support and meeting a lot of new people online and stuff. So I started two tasting groups at Spago that have been really, really fulfilling for me personally. Like it's a little bit of time and effort, you know, it's a weekly thing. I have one certified group, which I invited you to be in when you want to. When you sign up for the exam.
Oh, okay.
Then we'll do. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
So that, you know, we're like basically one group is studying for the certified and like kind of becoming getting ready for the advanced. So I have mentors coming in every week.
Oh my gosh.
Like last week I had Eric Endrickin, master sommelier. He was at my tasting group for the advanced group, who are all sitting for masters or advanced this year. And then the certified group, like Dylan Proctor from SOM, he's coming.
Yeah.
He's coming on Monday.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
To mentor the group. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm really like trying to create this culture of like, you know, Spago is like a hub, and I think it's a place for chefs and it's an institution for chefs. And I would love that for sommeliers too. And I love like getting to hang out with everybody and taste. And
you just gave me extra motivation to hurry up and find a date to
find a date.
Yeah,
girl.
Find a date.
There's just a lot of people. So that's the only way. I'm just saying like, hey, sign up for the test when you have a date. Like, let's do this,
okay.
You know, because everybody in the group's certified. So you would be the only one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
When you said certified, I thought you meant like
but
studying.
But if you want to be in it, then just be in it.
Just be in it.
Because there's this guy named Mark. He's opening a restaurant downtown, and he emailed me, and he's not certified. He's not part of the court. And I told him, I was like, yeah, you know, this group is really for people that are studying for certified, you know, but I love your enthusiasm, your passion. He's like, I really want to do it. And I was like, you know what? I like that.
Yeah.
I like the hustlers, you know.
Totally, yeah.
I'm like, if you really want to learn, yeah, I'll take you for sure.
I think totally. I've been wanting to hop into more groups or doing stodging before, so I feel like confident before. Because like there's a February one, and I'm like, that's too soon. And then there's an April one. I'm like, maybe I could, but I'm like insecure about things. So I'm like, I need months to study. So yeah,
months.
But yeah, I would love to hop in whenever you have an opening.
Yeah.
I always have an opening for you.
Aww.
I'll bring
I
mine.
Do.
Look at that. Look at that joy.
What?
Look
I'll
at that joy.
Fernet.
I love it.
But yeah, I love that you teach people.
Christy,
that's
thank
amazing.
You so much for being here.
Yes, thank you so much.
Loved
for
having
me.
You. Congrats. You're amazing.
I
you're
love
a fucking
you guys.
Rock star.
No,
you're amazing.
You guys are.
No, seriously.
We're like, no, seriously.
We're in awe. We're in awe right now.
We're in why not?
You guys are the best.
Cheers.
I appreciate
awesome.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
That was odd.
That was odd and like very aharmonic.
We apologize.
Thank
or
you.
Maybe you liked it.
Oh yeah, maybe you
but
liked
yeah,
it.
But yeah, thank you to all our wine people. Thank you to Zig for putting up with us in this
so
studio.
Much. Thank you UCB. Thank you Thomas Strachey for the graphic.
Dr. America Comedy for our song. My God, that
oh
song.
My God, that
I
song.
Love that song.
We love that song so much and we love you.
We do. You know, rate us. Subscribe, do all the
join
things.
Join the conversation online, like
yeah.
a picture, do something.
We're on Instagram, we put the pics up, and we like to talk to our people that, like, I will respond right away.
You will respond right away on Facebook, on Twitter. And
I'm there for it.
We are there for you.
Next week,
we have Marcy Leeroff.
Yeah.
Yay, she's on the show, guys. We have a legend, a Hollywood legend.
She really is. I couldn't believe, like, all the stuff she's worked on.
It's kind of insane.
It's crazy.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Glass. I just drink wine. I don't fuck with IPA. I just drink wine. I don't fuck with Minute Maid. I just drink wine. I don't fuck with Coffee Mate. I just drink wine. Give me red, white, or rosé. Don't test me, motherfucker. I'm a sommelier.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.